You are listening to the Park Flyer Podcast, where we discuss our RC adventures.
Welcome to the Park Flyer Podcast, where we discuss the ups and downs of the new RC Flyer. Join your hosts, Michael and Jay, as they take flight at the park. Now on with the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Park Flyer Podcast. I'm Michael from Arizona. With me always, good friends.
Jay from the hills of Texas.
And Shannon G and Mesa AZ.
We'd like to welcome you once again to this week's podcast. We have some really good feedback. We posted our YouTube channel. So if you're not subscribed on our YouTube channel, please go there and give us a thumbs up and a like. We were able to have Scott with us last time, and we got a lot of good feedback from his group. So we're excited about that. Also, you can check us out on any of your podcast sites, whether it be Apple or Spotify or Amazon or whoever. I think we're on all those. So yeah, we're glad you're here. We love to hear from you. So please reach out and send us a note if you have time. We are excited because a week ago, we had, barely a week ago, Shannon was able to compete in Gunsmoke this year. Again, you competed last time, I think, and got it. So we're going to talk a little bit about Gunsmoke, what it takes to get there. Shannon did really, really well. So why don't you kind of take us through what were you thinking when you got to Gunsmoke?
What was I thinking? Well, it started a long time ago. No, I was kidding. But anyway,
they made me
So I competed in Gunsmoke last year, and then
the
far away, and that led into competing in the Scale Masters Championship, which is October, and I got fourth place there. So my goal this year was to to go up a notch at least. So that was my goal. I'm like, right. I competed. I know what to expect. The big difference this year was Gunsmoke had traditionally been under the Scale Masters rules of the scale competition, and there's the competing or accompanying rules that are under what's called NASA, the National Association of Scale Air Modelers, I believe is the proper term for it. And so Gunsmoke switched to those rules, and it's not that they're that much different. There's a few things that are different, kind of more advantageous to probably the average modeler, if anything. So that was just the contest director's choice to change that. It's not a good thing or a bad thing. It was just a change that was decided to be made. So just had to be prepared to deal with that. So, last year I had a cool looking airplane. I had a little J3 Cub from Hobby King I picked up. It flew horribly, and I flew it horribly, and I just wasn't in the groove. Let's put it that way. And I was like, okay, because I just didn't get it set up in time. And,
but it looked marvelous.
It did. It looked
great.
I was like, okay, it's scale. Yeah, it worked. It looks good. But yeah, I just didn't do real well. So, but I learned a lot. So that was the most important thing. So this year going back, I changed my routine a little bit. So you have to have 10 maneuvers. There's five you had to have: takeoff, landing, figure eight, and then just scale realism, and then a fly past. So I did a descending 360 as my other maneuver. And then you can use a mechanical option, which could have been either flaps or retracts, or if you had a bomb drop, that would have worked too. I opted for the flaps. I could have gone retracts, and I'm kind of thinking maybe I should have. But anyway, so I chose those to go along with my missed approach and my landing. So the first day, Friday, it was a two-day event. Did two rounds on Friday, two rounds on Saturday. We don't have to do, since I was in the Pro-Am sportsman group, well, we don't get the full scale judging as far as the documentation and everything. Basically, I had to show a picture of the aircraft. Well, I was flying the T-28 Trojan that I won at AEF and dolled it up, and I posted pictures of it. I did some panel lines and I got some graphics and Kali graphics. Made it look nice. I mean, it was, I definitely could have even competed in the next level up if I wanted to. Wouldn't have done very well, probably, but it was just, just wanted to be pretty.
What's the next level up?
Yeah, what's the next level up?
What is it? I forget all the categories now. I think it's not expert, it's open. It's one of those two. And then there's, I forget all of the categories. I apologize. I should have done my homework.
Right.
I was just focused. But gotcha. So there was so I was prepared for that. There was four competitors in this year in my category, and there was another T28 just like mine, and there was and then there was another T28 in the Pro-Am. What's the next level? Pro-Am Pro, like the next level up. So we had a bunch of T28s. It was great, and they're almost every plane except for like two were yellow. So there's actually pictures from on the Gunsmoke website of all of the yellow planes. So there's like a Stearman, a Cub, you know, and then all the T28s. So it was kind of, and a Jenny. So every other plane was like yellow. So it was kind of cool that we had just all yellow airplanes. So Friday, the weather was very windy. And I, you know, I don't mind flying in the wind, but it was really windy. So my first round, I didn't do too bad. I think I goofed on my, my figure eight was lousy just cause it was getting blown all over the place. And then, I think I did okay. My descending 360, using the flaps. I think just, I botched the landing just cause I came in way too long. And that was just because I kept, you know, trying to adjust for the wind. I just brought it in too long. So whatever. And then the second flight, I almost didn't do the second flight because it got windier. So, I mean, there was people that did not do it. Of the four competitors, I was the only one, no, one of two that did the second round on Friday. Everyone else kind of sat it out. But I want to get my best shot. So I flew it. I didn't do that bad. It was almost, I think my score was the same. I had the exact same score for both rounds, like, you know, 83 points. I think I got out of 100. So I got that. So then Saturday rolled around. Saturday was much better for the most part, hardly any wind. It was just a little breezy, but then, my third round was really, really good. I think I got like 90 something, but then my fourth round, the wind picked up right as I guess I was getting ready to land, and I kind of just botched the landing. So took me down a notch or two. But, the winner in the Pro-Am, in my Pro-Am, sportsman, Steve Gladstone, this is his first scale contest, by the way. But he's a longtime flyer. He flies turbines. I think Mike, I think you know him. So he brought out his turboprop PC-21, Pilatus PC-21 in the Swiss colors. And that was his plane he was competing with against, you know, two other T-28 Trojans and an E-Flight F-86 or F-16. Because right. The other guy that did it was his first scale contest, this guy Alan, great guy in my club. I give him kudos beyond belief for attempting to do this after only been flying for like 8 months. And he flew with an E-Flight F-86 or F-18, F-16.
Oh wow!
And he was worried about getting all the maneuvers done in the time frame. Oh. And he actually had a broken aircraft, like the fuselage was cracked, so it was acting really funny. And then he had like a backup plane, like he had a backup F-16, so just like the real Thunderbirds. So
yeah,
but you know, and he you know he didn't you know his maneuvers were not, you know, he wasn't quite there, but his drive and his will, you know, I'm like, okay, you got to keep doing this because you know you're the right kind of guy for this, and he learned a lot and he had so much fun. But back to Steve, you know, turbine and you know giant, you know, large scale turbine. I think you've seen his plane, at an event probably. It's just that big PC-21 turboprop. I think a couple guys have them. I don't know who makes it anyway. Is it Karf?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's flying like in the beginner.
I think so. It's a Kempar.
He's flying in the beginner with, you know, a $15,000 plane. And I'm flying with one I got for free.
Right.
So there's some disparity there.
Exactly.
But yeah, so he blew me out of the water. You know, he won because it was mainly flying for that event. So he blew me out of the water.
Right.
Guy ahead of me, Ollie, he's one of our older club members. He did really well. He was flying T-28. He just did some of his maneuvers a little bit better than I did. He was practicing a lot more than I did because he can go out and practice because he's retired.
Right.
It was just fun. We had a great time. I was helping. And then Paul Stenberg came over from California. He competed and he did. He was in the next class. He got second place, I think, in the Pro-Am Pro level, so good for him. And he was flying a T-28 also.
That is very cool.
It was a good weekend, cool. And we were all done by like 1 o'clock on Saturday. So it was a really two rounds on Friday, two rounds on Saturday, and we didn't have as many competitors. I think because of the change in the rules, some people just didn't know where they were. Some people were showing some solidarity towards the other rules, so they're going to compete in another event in another state because we would have another one here. So, but overall, you know, it was a great event. Tim Dickey was the CD, did a great job, and I brought home a piece of hardware, got third place, so I'm happy.
That nice. Is impressive. So that it's always good to hear that you know, Shannon wins awards.
Something. Yeah, I got a couple awards the last 9 months, so I'm happy.
Oh, you have. So tell me if this is the so I have the Pro Am Sportsman. Mm-hmm.
That's what I flew in.
Which I think is the entry level. And then they have the Pro Am Pro, which is
kind of the same thing, but like if you win the Pro Am Sportsman, you go up to the Pro Am Pro, and what's the difference? I think you get some different points.
They don't require full documentation, only proof the aircraft for a maximum of 5 static points, allowing for virtually any type of aircraft to be entered. Then you have Advanced, which is a category for pilots who built their aircraft or purchased their as part of a team. The entrants provide fuel documentation for static judging and the same as the team and expert categories. Then you have a team, which is for, you know, more than one, and then the expert, which is for the builder and the pilot who builds and flies his own airplane. So that's pretty cool. Well, that's very amazing. And a good turnout, you said?
It was a little low. We had 13 pilots. We were expecting about 25. Yeah, it was a little lower than we expected. But again, with the change in rules, I think some people just were a little leery of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the NASA rules are basically kind of like the AMA, like if you go to the Nats and compete in the scale competition up in Muncie, it's those rules that they fall under. So, and like the team scale, that's one of the things that's different between Scale Masters and NASA this year is they took the team scale out of Scale Masters. So even if you qualify, because if you qualify, like I qualify for Scale Masters now, if I really want to go, and it's over in California in October, so I might go. We'll see. But they don't have a team scale, so you can't really do anything in other than go to the Nats with it. So it's kind of a bummer.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. Yeah. Well, we congratulate you for a third place win. That's kind of cool.
And, if you saw in all the pictures, I'm wearing my Park Flyer Podcast hoodie. So I made.
We did. We saw that. Yeah, my wife even commented on that.
That's who I'm.
So
I'm part of the factory. The factory team.
So Mike, I thought you were going to compete as well.
I was thinking about it, but I had to work. So. I didn't get back until actually I could have gone on Saturday. I could have gone on Saturday, but then I would have only been able to do like,
well, there was people that only did two rounds. Because that was actually one of the things that was cool about it. And I probably should have communicated that to you too, that so because there are some people that just couldn't commit to a Friday, they said, if you know, they take the best of two rounds. So if you only do two rounds, then that's what you get. So
you only do two.
So you can only, so there was, I think, one person. We expected a lot more people to do the 1 day option. And they just didn't show up. But we did have at least one that showed up, and I think Noel Hunt. He did like first or second place in something. He's phenomenal. He makes he's in the expert class, so he's up there.
Oh wow! Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, well, I so my T-28 when Shannon and I were out at the event here, the Warbirds and Classics event, I flew the flaps completely off of the thing. And I say that in jest, but it really did happen. So, you know, Shannon and I flew around, and Shannon's actually got a secret about that event too. I don't think he's told, but Shannon and I finally, you know, he was putting his together for that event, and then I had mine all ready to go. And so we had already flown mine several times. And so I was like, Shannon, come on, let's go. And so we went and flew it around. Well, you know, one of the fun things to do with that thing is to drop the flaps and just see how slow you can get it, right? And just drag it through the air. But it requires a little bit of thrust and, you know, a little bit of nose up attitude, and it's just dragging the flaps everywhere. So I spent, you know, probably, I don't know, half the flight with the flaps hanging down, just doing these really slow flybys. Anyway, I came down on probably, we flew once or twice, and then Shannon and I did like a formation flight, and I was telling him, man, you know, your airplane's like, I don't understand. I can't keep up with you. It's not reacting.
Oh,
weird.
Yeah, I remember that.
There was a reason for that.
Okay, I remember
But But yeah, when I got home, or actually when I got done with that flight, went up to go fly it again. One of the guys basically said, "Hey, your flaps are kind of flappy." And as I flew by, the flaps were actually
flapping,
moving like a bird's wing, and they were flapping.
Like, call,
and I
call.
Was like, "Well, that can't be good." So I put them back up and then flew it around. I know when I touched down and I got it over to the bench or to the table, I realized that I had stripped both of the flap servos. So
that's hard to believe.
So they're just stripped.
I mean,
out.
I've seen people fly the heck out
it
of it.
It is hard to believe.
I've seen Allie fly the heck out of it. And it's.
Yeah, but he's not doing it with the flaps.
But
down.
Sometimes, I mean, you know, there's a lot of maneuvers he does with the flaps.
Yeah,
down,
sometimes he does. But
I think maybe you just pushed the limit of the flap.
Probably just pushing it
a little
harder.
So mine,
yeah. I probably.
So, you know, I put my plane together, you know, and I flew with you, Mike, and I'm like, but even you commented the first time, well, your sound's different than mine. And it flew a little different. I was like, it's flying a little wonky. So I'm flying around, and then, you know, I put it away. Then the last weekend before I was getting ready for the event, I got flying, and one of my other friends has one. I mean, there are so many of these planes out of the field now. It's not even funny, but it's a great airplane.
There are
it just flies amazingly. When you have it set up right. And my friend's like, there's something wrong with your plane. I go, okay. And I look down at his plane and I'm like, wait a second. Is my prop on backwards? Sure enough, prop was on backwards from day one. And that's something you put on yourself. And
that's a testament to having a very powerful motor.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it flew, but it made a horrible noise.
Horrible noise. They make horrible noises.
It didn't make a weird noise. And it was, like I said, I kept asking him if he was at full throttle. I'm like, are you full throttle? He's like, no. I was like, what is wrong with
the plane?
Well, actually,
it was.
Because I was having a hard time.
I was at full throttle. Yeah.
It was at full throttle.
I was only getting like 3 minute flights. And then once I put the prop on, I was like, oh, I can fly the thing for 6, 7, 8 minutes. And I had this.
Right.
I had this great set of six cell 8,000 batteries that I bought, and I totally forgot I bought them. I bought them for the L39, but you know, I only fly that so often, and so I started using those. And those things are perfect for this airplane. I mean, they give you that little bit extra weight, you know, so it feels a little bit more meaty, and I can fly the thing for like almost 10 minutes with good throttle management. I was coming down from my full routine, like, I didn't even worry about the timer on my, you know, when I'm doing my routine. I just did my routine. I had to loiter a couple times. Really funny story with Steve's plane. So Steve and I were both flying, you know, where there was like three different flight stations. So there's usually at least two planes in the air. So me and Steve were flying, and, you know, your box is a little to the left or a little to the right of each other. So he's flying his big turbine. I'm flying my plane. And there was a couple times where we got really close. And there was one time where it was like, we did not like that, and so Steve, you know, politely asked, you know, hey, can we fly, you know, like, you know, stagger the times, because I've got a little bit more money in my airplane than he has in his, and I understand that,
right?
You know, for a competition, I totally get it.
Yeah,
so he opted to fly a little different, and Tim's really good about that, because I was calling for Paul, calling off his maneuvers. He was calling for me, so we had to jump back and forth. He was on a different flight line. And then I was calling for the other two guys besides Steve in my class, Ollie and Alan.
Right.
So you can tell it's like, it's not, you know, I'm not out there to, you know, beat everybody per se, but you know, it's all about, we're all having a good time and we're all, you know, competing.
Sure.
You know, I think it was really a good weekend. So.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I'm sorry I missed it. Like I said, I was having to work. I got back too late to kind of get there, and
you know, we
I really
could
don't
do.
Know what airplane I would have flown. But
we got some time to plan this. So the Scale Masters event is in Hemet, California, which isn't too far away from here. It's the weekend of my birthday, October 10th to the 13th. I'm almost thinking, okay, I think I'm gonna go compete for my birthday in Scale Masters. So.
Maybe there
you guys
go.
Could come along. We
they
could
might have to do that.
Could make it a celebratory weekend, a birthday
make it
weekend,
a birthday
and,
weekend,
you know, a flight crew, and yeah. So
there you go. That's true. We could do that. We'll have to put that down. So that'll be kind of awesome.
And you've got, and
we'll
and
put that on the calendar. I do. Although people are actually, Barry just asked me, he's like, "Are you going to Fresno?" And I go, "For what?" And he goes, "Well, there's an RC event up there. I'd really like to go." And he's like hinting around, you know. I started laughing. I was like, do you need the motorhome? He's like, yeah, well, that'd be nice. I'm like, okay. So that is why I bought it. But I fell in love with it at an RC event. One of the other guys had one, and I was like, man, this has got to, you can't get any better.
Yeah. Well, I grew up with, my family had a motorhome. You know, I was in like high school and in the college, and I totally miss having one. You know, it's, but but they're kind of like,
It is. Yeah. It's kind of convenient. So anyway, well, that's amazing that we were able to have you there. Thank you very much for representing us. I did, like I said, my wife mentioned the fact that you had the Park Flyer podcast hoodie on. So I think those are, that's stellar. And then if you haven't seen already, I kind of finally got my my gift in the background here is one of the Motion RC OV10s. Hasn't flown yet, but it is all ready to go. So it's finally got, you know, it's makeup on and got all the stuff in there. I just have to have a day where it's not blowing 40 knots down the runway like it was this morning. I had plans to go out and maiden it, and I walked outside and my flag pole is just sticking straight out. I'm like, okay, well, that's not a good day to maiden.
I tried
a new airplane.
What possibly go wrong?
I could have, but you know, whatever. And I had some other events, full scale stuff I had to do as well. So I actually went out to that. But I'm excited about it.
Did you synchronize your motors?
I did.
Oh, okay, good.
Well, how do you synchronize? What do you mean?
You know, basically by making sure they're kind of calibrated the same way. You know, meaning that they're both motors are calibrated and they start calibrated the same time and they stop the same time. And you know, you could also throw on your watch.
I'll send you a video and you tell me if they start and stop at the same time. Now, I will tell you that Motion RC did a really good job of setting that up. They are wide together.
Okay.
So, you know, when you plug the throttle in, they are wide. And then they set them to where when you do the calibration, you're basically calibrating them both simultaneously.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. So it did. It took a little bit. You know, you kind of have to be patient. Scott and I, when Scott got his, he was kind of frustrated because he's like, the motors don't work, you know? And I said, well, it's something, you know, I'm not hearing the beeps, so they're not activating, right? They're just beeping. Right. On these particular ones, you plug it in, you have to wait like 4 seconds or 5 seconds before actually start beeping. And so it puts the power to it, but it, because of the BEC or the UBEC in there, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't arm like right this second, and then you have to wait for a second, and then it'll go beep, you know, beep, and then you're like, oh, okay. But then one starts and the other starts, and then when they're both beeping simultaneously, then you go back to idle, and then there'll be a couple seconds of silence, and then they'll both spool up at the same time. So you hear both beeps and everything kind of go. So, but yeah, the props actually spin. They sound really good too. I was really shocked. It has a really good sound to it. I taxied around out in the driveway, you know, yesterday, and I got all the throws set and everything. So it's ready. I don't know if you probably can't see it right in the back, but, if you notice, I took a little extra time and painted the tips of the rockets.
I can almost think that out.
You see they're yellow right there.
Yeah.
There's yellow and, hold on. Let me
see. You just barely see it.
Coming at you in 3D.
Yeah, because normally a lot of people who have, you know, dual engine airplanes like that, that's one of the things they miss is calibrating their motors, and then they're wondering why, man, I keep trying to trim this thing and the plane's flying wonky and doing wonky
things.
Well,
I've got a
you know, the motors are out of
sync.
That's
awesome. Yep. There you go.
So yeah, they're on both ends, so it doesn't matter which way I put them on. It's kind of tricky, but I couldn't decide. I did it red at first because that's what the picture showed, and then I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know, they do have a yellow one, so I painted it yellow.
I think it's
and red,
the
but
different.
I can always paint this
like
red.
Some are like smoke ones or flare ones, and then some are like the actual loads. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I think so too. Something like that. But anyway. So, and then I didn't make this one as dirty as the T28 Trojan. I really went crazy on the Trojan, you know, made it all look like a trainer. But this one here, I just did a really light, you know, panel lines and stuff on it because it's green and nothing really shows up on it. But I didn't want it to be really dirty, so it looks much better.
Yeah.
Go patina. There you go. But yeah, it looks really good. I actually, the stacks on the back, I painted them. They were green. I painted them black, so it looks like a real stack. And then, yeah, it's pretty exciting. Everything kind of just pops off the thing, which is really kind of cool too. So I'm excited to go fly it. See how it is. I put all the antennas on. The only thing that makes me nervous is right on the front of it, there's a pitot tube that's about 2 inches long. And every time I turn around, I'm catching it on something. And I'm thinking, ah, it's going to break off any second now, you know. So I just have to be kind of careful because I'm used to it. Matter of fact, I was moving it and I was going to set it on its nose. And it's got that point that's out there. And I'm like, oh, and I glued it. I just tacked it in with a little, you know, foam tack glue. So I could probably twist it and pull it out and just, you know, kind of put it in and out as I fly it. But I don't know. It looks okay. I like it. And the wings actually come off, you know, the little outside section of wings come off. So it's from the nacelles inside. And so it's fairly easy to transport. But the only bad thing is because these little pods stick out at a 45 degree angle, if you pull the gear up, it can't sit flat on its belly.
Yeah,
it sits on those pods, and then those pods are just glued in, so it'll just, you know. So it has to sit on its gear. Yeah, it has to sit on the gear.
Have you ever,
that's okay. I'm sure I could probably build one of those things that holds it.
When they were one of the competitor aircrafts to this that Lockheed made, it was a very similar design, but it had really stubby wings, even stubbier than the real OV-10. You can look it up. Like, I forget what the...
Isn't that the Mohawk? Didn't they have like an OV-10 Bronco?
This is the OV-10 Bronco. Then the Mohawk is a totally different airplane. That was a turboprop, you know, like different. But no, this is actually was one of the competitors that lost out to the Bronco. Mm-hmm. I think Lockheed made it. And you can look it up.
Gotcha.
They flew it.
I gotcha.
But it has these really stubby wings. Like, I mean, they barely come out past the, like where the, where the tip of the prop would be. And it, so that was
really
the competitors. So it was very similar, but I think they went with the more conventional. If you want to call that a conventional aircraft at all.
Yeah, go figure. Well, it's funny because Barry saw that I had this sitting on the table. He FaceTimed me for something or whatever, and he saw it. He's like, hey, where'd you get that airplane? I said, oh, my friend Scott, and I did some work for his friend Dave, and the two of them kind of went in on it, and Dave said, hey, I want to do something nice for Mike, and Scott's like, yeah, well, I have this airplane and I want Mike to have it too. So they pitched in and it showed up at the, you know, on my front porch. And I'm like, great, another project, you know, but I'm pretty excited about it. And anyway, Barry saw that he had it. So about 10 minutes after he saw that, I got an email that someone is selling their Hangar 9 version. And he's like, hey, I got this one. Cause they don't, those are all, they're not, they're out.
Yeah.
They're out. So you can't order them. I don't think, I know if it's been discontinued or if they're just out of stock. I can't remember, but they may have discontinued the run. But anyway, he's like, hey, look what I found. And I'm thinking, oh, I already have so many big airplanes in here that it's going to be difficult to store. I'm going to need to build another shop out the back. And my wife's already talking to me about it. She's like, you know, we could make this my office and put yours out in the back 40. I was like, yeah, I guess you could. I don't know. But it's kind of difficult. I was like, yeah, bring it on. So now it's like I'm running out of storage space. So
and she'll shortly thereafter change the locks on you.
yeah, that's probably true too. That's probably true. What else is on the news? Oh yeah, the Zeroli Bearcat got I brought it in and stripped everything off of it. It's down to the bare bones, so I'm starting into that. I found some damage in some of the wings and the gear, you know, had been torn out. And so I have to redo some of that. Anyway, I wound up, you know, just go ahead and I just ordered a new wing set. So I'm just laying up the wings this week and have it sitting over on there. And the new gear, you know, it's all going to be new. So the wings should be, the wings are laid up now. They're not glued together, just tacked with CA. So it's just all just sitting there, but I'll get the epoxy out when I get a little bit extra time and kind of glue everything in. And then I got to seat it into the saddle of the airplane, the fuselage, to make sure that it all seats correctly. And once I do all that, then I'm really seriously thinking about making this an electric.
I think that'd be awesome personally.
So for this is a Zeroli
next year.
I think so too. And you know, it's got the Robart gear on it. I mean, for those of you who don't know, I actually wound up with another Bearcat at the auction. So
that's right.
Matter of fact, he just texted me today and said, hey, I guess your fuselage is ready to be picked up. So I got the fuselage and the gear and everything else that's going in that one. So that one there is a Bates, not a Zeroli, but it's a fiberglass fuse, yes, and stuff that I wanted, the Warburton Classic. So I didn't really win it. It was an auction, but I couldn't pass it up. It was too good of a deal. So anyway.
So did the first Bearcat come with motors or not?
No.
It came with Zerolis, mm-hmm, right? Oh, okay. That's what I was wondering.
The Zeroli are the plans that it was built from, and it's got no motor. It came with retracts, but no motor. So
gotcha.
I've gotten everything down to where it's all raw wood right now. Except the fuselage is already fiberglassed, but the wood wings and the tail sections and all the control surfaces are all stripped. So except for the flaps and the ailerons.
So after this whole ordeal, do you have anything to pass on to our listeners about buying used planes or things to look for when you're buying a used plane?
I do, and that's a whole nother episode. Thank you for giving us the preview of that. But I do. As a matter of fact, I think both of us do. You actually bought a couple airplanes, and we'll save that for the next episode since we're out of time.
Almost every plane I own is a used one, unless I win it.
Unfortunately, we are out of time, but our next episode we can talk about used airplanes and some of the things you got to make sure you're looking at, and you know what happens if you get into some of that stuff, because both of us have had that opportunity. But for now, I'm Michael in Arizona.
I'm Jay in the hills of Texas.
And Shannon G in Mesa AZ.
And we, once again, would like to congratulate Shannon on a third-place victory, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Let's fly.
You have been listening to the Park Flyer Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to your next visit. Please give our show a star rating and review, and feel free to email us your questions, topics, or suggestions to parkflyerpodcast@gmail.com.